are now listening to the Legends Lingo Podcast, presented by CouchGuysSports.com. Here are your hosts, Al.
You didn't ask him about that long?
I was chatting there, Beetle.
What the fuck kind of host are you? I mean, you're
Beetle,
burying the lead.
Shit, dude. Someone Chris is... Chip, please.
Powder.
Yes, sir.
And Maddie D.
And on top of that, now you have a triple effect. You have the Niners looking for a long-term answer with Jimmy G in-house. Maybe they don't want to spend the money on Jimmy G. Maybe he gets freed up because they go after a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, who now theoretically could be freed up. So there's a lot of dominoes to fall.
Enjoy the show.
All right, everybody. Welcome back in Legends Lingo Podcast, episode 151. As always, presented by CouchGuysSports.com. Check out everything on CouchGuysSports.com, from the daily blogs to the podcast. We've added a few new podcasts to the network, so make sure to go check those out. Sports in the World, we have a new contributor with that, Ladarius Brown. Go check out that podcast. We also have the Barking Browns podcast, our new Cleveland Browns podcast that we now have on. Jacob Roach, Nick Carnes, go make sure to go check out those guys. Check out our YouTube channel, where you get podcast episodes recorded and up there every week or so, a couple podcasts, Suplex Biddies, Couch Guy Sports Podcast, Tuck Rule Takes, and Legends Lingo, obviously, is up there too. And our Twitch channel, we usually have about 4 to 5 days a week of Twitch content, so make sure to go check it out, twitch.tv/CouchGuySports. Alan Hegan here, no Maddie DeRozier, last second, had to say, sorry, can't do it. Family man, holidays, kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Powder's here. Powder, pleasure.
Pleasure's all mine. Glad to see you.
Always a pleasure to see you. And I don't want to say he's an old friend, because he's a friend of ours. He's always going to be a friend of ours. He's always going to be linked to Couch Guy, but not. It's a weird dynamic we have going on here. But anyways, owner of Student Union Sports. If you like another website besides Couch Guy Sports, make sure to go check out studentunionsports.com. It is the owner. It's Liam Smith. He's back with us. Hey, buddy.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for having me on. Like you said, I never want to be an old friend of Couch Guy Sports, because I like to stay in the loop with everything you guys are doing. I see everything growing. Like you just did the whole rundown, add new contributors all the time. So site's been looking great. And yeah, I never want to be an old friend. I always want to be in the fray and a part of Couch Guy in some dynamic.
So there you have it. It's
bang.
It's on the recording, so he can't get out of this. So he knows now he's a part of Couch Guy forever in some capacity. So now he agreed.
Signed
to
in
it.
Blood. Mm-hmm. Signed in blood.
It's basically signed in blood. But Couch Guy Sports and Student Union Sports always do collaborations with each other. Two great websites that are both on the rise. So make sure to check out, obviously, Couch Guy, and check out Student Union Sports.
Appreciate that.
Well, not a problem. We're happy to have you, Liam. We're also happy because we got a lot going on this week. Patriots and a big Saturday night marquee matchup against the Indianapolis Colts in Indy. Red Sox, there might be a name of a pitcher out there that they could be linked to. The Interest Kings back at it again. Celtics had an interesting move happen that didn't necessarily happen inside their own organization. And the Bruins, they have a COVID outbreak, and there might be some rumblings about the head coach. But before all of that, Liam, because you're our guest, I'm going to ask you a question.
Go for it. Shoot.
Have you ever just had a day where you just have no energy, you're unable to focus, and you just want to make sure that you are ready to go at all times?
Yep. Happens all the time, especially in the days of when you have to work from home every other day and you're staring at your computer. You know, energy, it comes and goes like that.
It does come and go, but what doesn't come and go is the fact that Shocked Energy is a great energy brand, and we understand that feeling so well that the Legends Lingo Podcast is brought to you by, obviously, the Couch Guy Sports Network, and sponsored by our friends over at Shocked Energy. Shocked Energy is a drink made by gamers for gamers. All their flavors come packed with 180 milligrams of caffeine to ensure that no matter what you're doing, your focus will always be razor sharp to keep you performing at the top of your game. Their formulas are designed to specifically give you high energy boosts when you need it, while ensuring to avoid the jitters after too much caffeine consumption. Head on over to shockedenergy.com and use the promo code CGSN. That's CGSN today for 10% off your order. Check out their green apple flavor or even their watermelon flavor. Two great flavors to check out, so make sure you check those out. Powder and I are watermelon guys. Maddie DeRozier is a green apple guy, but it's okay. We love them still.
So don't worry. It's for gamers.
Sorry to interrupt. No, it's for everybody.
Okay.
For you.
No. So I've been crushing Halo lately. I need the fuel.
Well, guess what? if you're a gamer like Liam, then it's going to make sure that it's going to help you, because don't worry, Liam, it also ships worldwide. That's right. Worldwide. So whether you're in Africa, Asia, Australia, wherever you may be listening to this podcast, you can get Shocked Energy today. Get your Shocked Energy and let us help you gain your focus and energy back with the promo code CGSN at checkout for 10% off. That's always fun to get out of the way. I feel re-energized after that. Just reading an energy ad gets me re-energized. I don't know what it is.
Beautiful. It's all in the ad read. You can tell there's love there.
Yep.
Ton of love. Shout out to our guys and gals over at Shocked Energy. They do a great job. Make sure to check them out. What we need to check out, though, is the upcoming Patriots game. It is week 15.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds right. 15. And the New England Patriots have a Saturday night matchup with the Indianapolis Colts. Now, here's how it stands. Patriots are currently 9-4, number one seed in the AFC. We love that. As we're recording, so we're recording on Thursday, December 16th. So we'll have already known whether the Chiefs won their game against the Chargers or lost. Because if they win, then they take the number one seed for the time being. But if they lose, Patriots are still the number one seed in the AFC. So go Chargers. Hopefully Justin Herbert can come out and just sling it against Kansas City's defense, especially with no Chris Jones. But I digress. The Buffalo Bills are 7-6, four games left. Patriots need this win because the Bills are playing the Panthers. Cam Newton, I don't know what Cam Newton they're going to get. Maybe Cam will have a flashback game and can help the Patriots somehow, but I don't know. I just don't see the Bills losing. So Patriots have the Colts. They're dealing with arguably the best running back in the league this year in Jonathan Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget too, a lot of people forget this. The Colts have some good receivers. T.Y. Hilton's been a guy that's been there forever. Michael Pittman's another one that's done really, really well. Carson Wentz, a quarterback. I mean, this was a guy that in 2017 was going toe to toe with Tom Brady for the MVP award.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, you know, I don't want to say this is a trap game after a big win against the Bills on Monday Night Football, but it feels a little bit like this is a game that the Patriots could lose. So I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I think on paper, the Patriots are the better team. I think they have the better defense. I think they have the better coach. And Frank Wright, shout out to Frank Wright, because he's done a great job with that Colts team. But it's Bill Belichick. You're not going to go against Bill Belichick normally ever as far as coaching matchups go. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Powder, I want to hear kind of your breakdown of everything. Then Liam, will go to you, and then we'll get into some score predictions. So go ahead, Powder.
Yeah, I was just quickly looking through the Colts schedule in the last couple of games. They just killed the Texans. They lost to the Bucs, but then they beat up on the Bills pretty good, who I think the Bills' defense is good. But I just think the Patriots coming off a bye, even though the Colts are coming off a bye too, I just think the Patriots are just always well-prepared. Off a bye, they had 2 weeks to prepare for the Colts. I think Belichick has a scheme to shut down Taylor, and the Patriots are going to find a way to win this game. Like I said, against the Bills, it's another game where Patriots just going to have to run the ball and keep the ball in their hands and chew up a lot of clock, because the Colts offense can be deadly if they're given the ball too many times. So I think if the Patriots can chew the clock down, have some good possessions and play clean football, they will be fine. But Colts are a sneaky team. They're 7-6, but I think they've had some pretty good wins. So I think they're going to be a tough opponent.
The Colts are a weird team because 1 week they look like they can definitely dominate the AFC, AFC South.
Yep.
And then there are other weeks where they look like they don't even belong. So it depends which team you get. And obviously the Colts are geared up for this game. Bobby Okereke, the only reason I know how to say that is because Pat McAfee said it, and I watched the video at the NFL draft. That's the only reason I know how to say that name. But Bobby Okereke was like, yeah, we're going to make them one-dimensional and make Mac Jones win the game. All right, have Mac Jones throw the ball 30 times, see how well you do. But I digress. Liam, floor is all yours.
Totally, yeah. So I'm glad you pronounced that guy's name, because I did see he was talking a lot of trash about Mac Jones, saying they were going to really force him to throw the ball by locking in on the run game. But when I was looking at this, the thing that really we can say it's a weird game in general, but the thing that really stood out to me is the number when you're looking at the line in Vegas. It opened, so we're talking very early lines, it opened very close to even money. And then almost immediately after, we saw some heavy, sharp, we'd like to assume it's sharp money, come in on Indy that pushed the line all the way to 2. So the thought there is that someone somewhere, most likely in Vegas, knows something, and they threw a lot of money on Indianapolis. And that has moved the line to a point that I don't really see it returning to even money. Typically with the Patriots playing a Saturday night game, you'd think that a lot of public bettors see them getting 2 points and bet them back to even. But I do think that it's going to be, I think it's going to hang around that plus two. So keeping the Patriots as 2 point underdogs as it gets close. But I'm going to disagree with the sharps and the money and all that because I'm a Patriots fan and I believe in Mac Jones. I think this is a very important game for his career to step up and win because, you know, that's been the knock on the Patriots forever. If we can't establish a run game, we can't get any of our weapons going. So it normally starts with that. It's going to be on him to call out of a lot of blitzes, I'm sure. And, you know, he's managed fairly well with that, but that's typically a very tough task for a young quarterback. But, you know, those years of Saban coaching have definitely paid off. And I think we've seen that this year. So I've seen it said around the internet a lot, but the Colts really gave him bulletin board material. So I think Matt comes out fired up. So that's where I'm at.
And especially after last week against Buffalo or the week before, whenever it was, but in the Buffalo game, when he's only throwing three passes, you know, the weather was bad and everything else. The Buffalo defensive line was kind of not great. So that's why Patriots ran the ball 46 times. Mm-hmm. But even so, if you win this game, and we're going to get into score predictions in a second, you win this game, you go to 10-4. Even if Buffalo wins, you're still two games up and you still have the matchup with Buffalo in Foxborough the following week. So you win that game, you essentially win the division.
Yeah.
So that's the way the Patriots have to look at it. Take care of business in Indy and then find a way to take care of business against Buffalo. And then you can kind of decide what you want to do against Jacksonville and Miami. And I want to talk about Jacksonville for 1 second after this, but score predictions for the game. Liam, you're our guest. We'll let you go first. What is your score prediction for this game?
I think it's going to be a weird one. And so I'm going to go 21-10 Patriots, handy win, but I think it's just going to be a weird one throughout. No one's really going to be able to get into a rhythm. I think our defense is going to have to pull us through and, you know, leave it up to Mac to get some, to get his drives in, get his shots in. But, you know, it's going to be a big one for the defense. And we're going to have to, like Powder said, this Colts team, if they get into that rhythm, they're dangerous. So we've got to do, you know, Belichick's got to do his thing, keep the offense from getting into a groove on us. And so I'd like to think if we don't see him score in the first half, or, you know, if we don't see them put up two touchdowns or say in the first half, I think it's going to be a low scoring game throughout.
Okay. So 21-10 Patriots. I like it. Powder.
I'm going to say it's going to be close for a lot of the game, but then at the end, Patriots going to get like a late fourth quarter touchdown, kind of pull ahead and seal the deal. So I'm going to say 24-13. Patriots going to pull ahead late in the game, but it's going to be close throughout.
See, my head says that the Colts are going to win this game just because the way the Patriots have played, they've been so hot lately. They've won seven straight. They've had a lot of breaks go their way. Tennessee game, no Derrick Henry, AJ Brown, Julio Jones. When they played Cleveland, they had no Nick Chubb, and that's not the Patriots' fault. It's just they play whoever's on their schedule. But honestly, can't go against them here. Until they lose, you got to keep going with them. I'm going Patriots 20-14 over the Colts. It's going to be a low-scoring game. I think Mac's going to get a touchdown pass or two. Obviously, a couple field goals, and defense makes a play at the end of the game, kind of similar to the Bills game. Kind of finish off a drive and get the Patriots their eighth straight win and move them to 10-4. So, excuse me. By the way, really quick, I just wanted to talk about this. Jacksonville Jaguars. They finally fired Meyer. Sorry, I got that wrong. But Urban Meyer fired after a 2-11 record, turmoil in Jacksonville. Think about this, guys. The Jaguars in 2017 made it to the AFC Championship game against the Patriots. We're a quarter away from winning and going to the Super Bowl against the Eagles, and then they end up losing. I think it was like 24-20 or 28-24, something like that. The following year in 2018, the Jaguars beat the Patriots in Jacksonville in week two. And that was the week that everyone thought, oh, wow, the Jaguars are for real.
Yeah.
I know what their record's been since then.
Oh, it cannot be good.
Oh, it's pretty bad. You want to take a guess, Liam?
I don't even, I can't fathom. So shoot.
12-47 since that game.
Jesus.
The Jaguars are like, they're perennial losers. And they brought in a loser who called his assistant coaches supposedly losers. Like Urban Meyer, how more pathetic can you get?
The stories keep coming out.
Right, exactly. You're dancing with younger girls in the bar when you're married. You're kicking your kicker supposedly and cussing at him. You're hiring coaches with questionable backgrounds. Like you didn't belong in the NFL. I didn't think this was going to last. I thought maybe it would be a full year and then he's done, or maybe 2 years. But it reminds me almost of like the Bobby Petrino situation in 2007 with the Falcons when he left to go to the University of Arkansas before the Falcons season was over. I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts real quick on Urban Meyer before we get into some baseball talk?
I think it's a weird cultural thing where I'm glad that there's no, or it's a generational thing almost. And I'm glad there's no one coming out saying, oh, that's football. Cause you know, this guy's a monster. You can hear like, it's not the same thing as ringing out your kicker because you know, there's a difference between fire and passion and just being a jerk. And it's bad that I'm laughing at it. But when Josh Lambeau said that he thought he was solely referred to as dipshit. That's all. He's like, he called us, he didn't special teams people. He was punter, snapper, kicker, long snapper, maybe dipshit. You know, that's all he called them. So yeah, that guy's a monster. And it's kind of scary how much probably won't come out just because of, you know, the unspoken rules of locker room and camaraderie and stuff, which, you know, sometimes you gotta, that line's very blurred.
Potter, any thoughts on our friend Urban Loser?
I was a huge Tebow fan, Florida, but the more and more you see about Urban Meyer, it's just he was a good college coach, but you never know how. Like, I feel like in college, you don't hear as many of those stories because, like, they're young kid. They're basically kids. Like, think about their 18 to 21, 22 year olds. So who knows what he did there? And I think he should have been fired after the whole lap dancing thing. And he just, everything you hear, he was not treating his players, his assistant coaches, anybody in that organization well. He made so many mistakes there, and I don't think they should have hired him at all in the first place. But, you know, they wanted to take a risk, especially with a young quarterback that maybe they thought he would be good for a fresh out college quarterback. But obviously that was the wrong road, so.
Well, it's scary, the lasting effects it could have. And, you know, I live in South Carolina. I'm a Gamecocks fan. I hate Clemson. I hated Trevor Lawrence as a Clemson Tiger. But, you know, now it's kind of sad to know that your first year in the league, you get an absolute dumpster fire of a coach.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's not great for your progression.
No.
And the thing is, too, you think about this, and I think the reason Urban Meyer didn't work out is because he treated the Jaguars like they were college players, like how they were at Utah or Florida or Bowling Green or Ohio State. You know, that's how he was treating it. And you can't do that. That's the biggest mistake that college coaches make going into the pros. They treat them like kids and you can't do it. They are men. They are men with families. Mm. They probably make more than the head coaches make. So it's like, you got to treat them like men. That's the thing. And these coaches don't understand it. They don't get it, and Urban Meyer didn't get it. But you know what? I just can't wait for in a couple of weeks and the Patriots shellack the Jaguars just to add to the win total. But we'll see what happens. I think after that, too, and with Urban Meyer talking about, like, you know, just going through the stress and Trevor Lawrence going through the stress, I think they needed some products to relax. And that product that I'm talking about is Exogun, guys, because the Legends Lingo podcast is also brought to you by our friends at Exogun. Liam, have you ever done a workout and feel like you need a massage right after?
Yeah, I mean, my body's not made the way it used to. If I do anything too physical, I'm hurting for days.
Well, get that massage, Liam, without even having to leave your house now. Don't let pain and soreness slow you down anymore. His Exogun revives muscle, boosts circulation, and releases energy so you can recover faster and live better. It's portable, adjustable, powerful, and is trusted by the pros to deliver the ultimate in recovery experience. Gain back control of your body and achieve long-term pain relief with our friends at Exogun. Get 10% off with the code CGS10, that's CGS10, at checkout. Exogun comes with a charger and a carrying case. Get your Exogun today and treat yourself to a massage at a moment's notice. So there's not a lot going on in the world of baseball. We'll talk about this really quick. Boston Red Sox, they're the interest kings. We know that. They're interested in everybody. They were interested in Marcus Stroman before he signed with the Cubs. You know, they're just interested in everybody. But now, the latest one, and we'll talk about this really quick, Carlos Rodon. So for anybody that doesn't know Carlos Rodon, I know I didn't know much about him, but I followed a little bit. He was actually a former first-round pick in 2014. He was the number 3 overall pick out of NC State. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
29 years old, pitched for the White Sox last year. With the White Sox, he was actually an all-star in 2021. He had a 13-5 record with a 2.37 ERA in 132 and two-thirds innings pitched. So, I mean, the question that I would ask you guys really quick with this is this. The Red Sox, they have hopefully a healthy Chris Sale coming back, assuming that we have a season, which I think we're going to have a season, but the lockout, you know, all that stuff. It's not pretty right now, but assuming a season's going on in 2022, you have Chris Sale, you have Nathan Eovaldi, you have Nick Pivetta, you have these guys like you signed like Michael Wacha and James Paxton, who won't even be available till like August or September, if that. And then, you know, would a guy like Rodon on a 1-year deal, say for maybe like $5 million or like a two for 10 type of deal, would that be a deal that the Red Sox should make to maybe be your replacement for Eduardo Rodriguez? I'm kind of curious about that. Liam, I'll start with you, then I'll go to Powder.
Yeah, well, you said what, he was 13-5 last year. Yep. Those 13 wins would have been nice from another starter to really take the pressure off us at the end of last at the end of last regular season, as we were having to compete almost. We had an early playoff run basically, and putting that much pressure on yourself late in the season isn't great. So, you know, I'm just chalking it up to, hey, whoever you bring in, he better be supplying enough wins to keep up with the first two people in our rotation. You know, if we're dropping the fourth and fifth game of every rotation, so be it. That's baseball. But I really do think we need a strong three. So, you know, sounds great. Does it work out? You know, a lot of pitchers come to Boston and it's a totally different story. It's a totally different environment than what they're used to. So on paper sounds great, but I don't have too much input other than I'm on board with bringing in someone like that.
Okay. So Liam, you're on board. Powder, you on board?
Yes, I am. So he threw a no-hitter last year, early in the year. He's a lefty. He was fifth in Cy Young votings. In those 132 innings, he had 185 strikeouts, was a 12.6 strikeout per nine guy. Like, he's a big strikeout guy, big swing and miss guy, good slider coming out the left side. He kind of battled injuries in the minor leagues, took him a little while to get established in the big leagues. But I think he's a guy coming off an all-star game. He might be a little bit more expensive than he would have been before 2021, but I still think he's someone you take a flyer on, because I think worst case you sign him to a 2-year deal and he's maybe, I think he'd be very similar to Erod, like maybe not 2019 Erod, but I think he has that potential to be even better than 2019 Erod, but I think he could be what Erod like kind of was this year. So I think he's someone you could get for cheaper than what Erod was. So I think Carlos Rodon would be a great pickup for the rotation. I think he wants to play in a winning environment because White Sox last 2 years have been really good. So I like Carlos Rodon. I've liked him since I kind of found out about him earlier this year, and someone I kind of follow this year. And he honestly could have been a Cy Young guy if I think it hurt a little bit during the year, but he's a very, very good pitcher.
He is. And you know what? To come off an all-star year where you're with the White Sox, they're a team that's supposed to be contending every single year now. Because you think about the Central, they have the Cleveland Guardians that aren't going to be as good.
Yeah.
You know, the Royals are down. The Tigers look like they might be a little bit better in 2022 than they were in 2021 with a few of the signings they've made. You know, with Eduardo Rodriguez, Javi Baez, you know, and they're looking to add more. You have the Twins that they should be there, but they're not. And then obviously there's the White Sox. So they have some good pitchers in that rotation. Rodon's only 29. You don't have to sign him for big money.
No.
And that's the type of deal that High and Blue loves to do. So why wouldn't you throw a 1 or 2 year deal?
Yeah.
Or a 1 year deal with a second year player option.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would like him, but we'll see what happens. I think Chaim Bloom, the Red Sox are good with the additions they've made, but obviously you can't add anybody for the until the lockout's over. So we'll see what happens.
Yep.
Any other final thoughts on that before we move on?
No, sir.
Nope.
No. All right. We'll do a quick Celtics. I'll do a Bruins minute. Then we'll get out of here. Boston Celtics. Interesting move that happened on Wednesday night. So former GM and president of basketball operations, Danny Ainge, decided to take a new job. He's now the CEO and alternate governor of the Utah Jazz. And this is a move that I saw coming a mile away because all the factors are in place. He went to BYU when he was in college. The Jazz are third in the West right now behind the Warriors and the Suns. And the Jazz have some good players on that team. They have, and they're right in the middle of trade season. So Trader Danny coming in, making a move. So I guess this kind of leads me into this question. Did Danny Ainge see something in Boston that he knew wasn't going to work in the long haul? And that's why he left. That's kind of what I'm wondering. And I want your guys' perspective on it because to me, you know, in Boston, he had Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to work off of as a foundation. And then, you know, he had these other pieces and was trying to make a move. And the Celtics will have a lot of money off the books for the next offseason to be able to make a big move, whether it's a Bradley Beal or someone else. So I don't know. Is it kind of funny that Danny Ainge now ended up in Utah?
It's weird because, you know, people at the Celtics organization will swear up and down, including Brad Stevens, that Ainge wasn't forced out in any capacity. And Al, your theory might have some legs here because when you look at the Jazz, like they are a team that's ready to pop and they're a team that are good to get involved with. And so, you know, whether it was, oh, something's about to go seriously wrong here in Boston. I don't know if that was the case. Maybe he was just running a little tired and wasn't feeling up to the job. So many things that could be going through his head there, but for whatever happened in this Jazz situation, it seems like he made up his mind pretty quick. And I don't think he'd do that if he didn't know, I think I'm about to get in on something good. Also, alternate governor is a sweet title. I'd like that for at one point in my life.
It is alternate governor of student union sports, along with being an owner.
Yes, that'd be sick. I'll just give myself that title for now.
All right, sounds good. Powder?
Yeah, I have to agree with you guys. He must see something with the Jazz, just looking at it, like, wow, they could be a really good team. Maybe he just sees like, oh, if I make these one or two moves, they can be a legit finals contender. So probably in the Jazz offered him a pretty sweet contract where he's like, you know what, I'll take it. And I'll work. And he probably just wanted, sometimes you need a change of scenery. And that's probably what he wanted and probably wanted to get away for a little while. And now he's probably like, you know what? I want to get back into it. He seems like the type that cannot just rest for a while. Like cannot just stay idle for a while. So
little retirement project.
Yep. So I think he'll be good for them. And I think maybe he'll make them a contender and a winner. So we'll see if he can kind of go back to how he made the 2008 Celtics into a championship team with the Jazz.
I know. And people forget too, that they could have won three straight titles if it wasn't for Garnett hurt in 2009 and Perkins hurt in game 7 in 2010. So he could have realistically had three titles here, but anyways, I digress. You know, good for Danny Ainge. Maybe he got sick of playing golf. Maybe the family was like, hey, go get a hobby or something. I don't know, but it is what it is. So good for Danny Ainge. Hopefully the Celtics can actually make some moves because they are a mediocre team. They're 14-14, battling for basically to be in the play-in tournament, which they were in last year. It's just, I don't want that again this year. I don't want them to have to play the Nets again and get beat in 5 games. It's not fun. So hopefully the Celtics can improve, but we'll see what happens. We'll get into a quick Bruins minute to end it. But before that, Powder, can you tell me a place where I can get a good bite to eat around here?
Yeah, talking about Celtics and Bruins in the Garden, A&B Kitchen and Bar is located right across the street from the TD Garden on Causeway Street. Their newest place to meet up before or after a game for dinner and drinks, offering an elevated take on traditional New England pub menu of freshly made in-house dishes like chicken pot pie, meatloaf made with organically raised beef from Neiman Ranch, local clams and antelope sausage, or locally caught fish and chips. Draft beers from area breweries like Gentile Brewery in Beverly, Mass. Lord Hobo and Notch pair perfectly as well. Looking for a patio dining experience, A&B Kitchen has a raised patio with spectacular views of the garden and the Zakin Bridge with newly installed heaters. You can enjoy the outdoor seating for extended season. With 32 feet of open garage doors along Causeway Street and 16 feet along Beverly Street, you're able to sit inside but have all the benefits of open-air dining experience without the elements. Don't have tickets, but want to watch a game amongst fans at A&B. They have 9 installed 70-inch TVs, so there isn't a bad seat in the whole house. They're open Monday through Sunday, but if there's a day game on the weekend, they open at 11 a.m.
Shout out to our friends at A&B Kitchen and Bar. So sure. I'll make this a quick Bruins minute, and then we'll kind of head out for the night. The Bruins, they're having just a COVID outbreak. Multiple players, including Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, Jeremy Swayman, and a bunch of others on the COVID protocol list. And it's a nightmare right now. And there was a report that came out the other day, supposedly, that Patrice Bergeron yelled at head coach Bruce Cassidy because Cassidy was criticizing defenseman Matt Grizzlick's play when he scored his first goal of the season just the other night. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know if there's a change that needs to be made in the land of the Bruins, but there's something going on because I think their window to win a cup is kind of closed and they're just a middle of the road team now in the Eastern Conference. So I don't know what's going to happen. I expect Bruce Cassidy to finish out the season, but I don't know what's going to happen after that. I think it's all kind of in turmoil. So I don't know if you guys want to add on that really quick. If not, we can kind of just get into our closing stuff, but Liam Powder, feel free to jump in.
No hockey takes for me. Sorry, guys.
Short but sweet. Love it. Yeah. Go ahead, Powder, if you want to add anything.
So if, like, obviously the captain's starting to yell at the head coach, that's never a good sign, but you never know. Maybe temper just flared, and at this point, maybe they're both over and forgot about it. A lot of times in sports, players, coaches have short memories. We all know that from playing sports growing up, especially baseball. You strike out your first at bat, you can't remember in your second at bat. So who knows? Maybe it was just a tempers flare thing. But if Bruce Cassidy's losing the locker room, that's something you want to change quick, because the Bruins do have a core that have maybe 1-2 years at most left to contend for a cup. So you don't want to lose this locker room and have their last year in a Bruins uniform not be good. So you should give them every chance you can to at least win and go out on a good note, whether it be just a deep playoff run or whatever. But you don't want everybody to look back and say the ending of this core was not good.
Yeah, and with that core, I mean, like we've said previously, Bergeron's getting older, Marchand's getting older, Tuukka Rask, we don't even know if he's going to be back, if they're going to actually sign him and bring him on, which they should. But I don't know, man. The Bruins are an interesting team. It's going to be just kind of curious to see if they make the playoffs and if they can make one more run at it. I don't know if they can, but I can be proven wrong. But Liam, it's always a pleasure to have you.
Boys, I love joining you. If you guys want to record more often on Thursday, I can maybe join more often. But I know you guys are busy and keep to a tight schedule. So happy to get my reps in.
Listen, you're ready. You're in your pinch hitter role and you knocked it out of the park 3-for-3 with 3 home runs tonight. So
thank you.
Well, actually, maybe 3-for-4 because you didn't have a Bruins take. But yeah, still 3-for-4, well, 3 home runs.
That was a punt.
A punt in baseball. There you go.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, I'm changing sports, but yeah, it was a punt.
Make sure again, check out everything couchguysports.com. Make sure to rate and subscribe to the Legends Lingo podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, SoundCloud, everywhere you can get your podcast. Make sure to check it out. If nothing else, that's Liam Smith. That's Tom Powder Cadmus. I'm your host, Al Mahigian. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week for episode 152.
Yes, sir.